Chapter 41, we're going to talk about the temple. We kind of finished up and this last Wednesday night. And I'm going to back up a couple of verses to verse 48 of the previous chapter and bring us forward here. It says, "He brought me into the portico of the temple, and he measured the jambs of the portico. They were 5 cubits wide on either side." Now, the way I understand it, a cubit is like a foot and a half. And where we go with inches and feet, way by this. So he said here, there's 5 cubits, so I'd make it 7.5. They're 1.5. And he said the width of the entrance was 14 cubits. That would make it 21 feet wide. And his projecting walls were 3 cubits or 4.5. The portico was 20 cubits wide, 12 cubits from front to back. And it was reached by a flight of stairs, and there were pillars on either side of the jambs. So it was a decorative design that led up to the stairwells that went up to the upper floors there. So we're not going to break every cubic down. We're going to read what it says here and move through this pretty fast tonight, because it just tells the measurements and the widths and the heights and the breadth and the stuff of the temple itself and what God had prepared for those whose place was in the temple. Chapter 41, verse 1 said, "Then the man brought me into an outer sanctuary." If you remember, Ezekiel's on a vision. He said, whether it was a dream or whether it was a vision or whether it was in fact, but this man's showing him things of God. He said, "The man brought me to an outer sanctuary, and he measured the jambs. The width of the jamb was 6 cubits on each side. The entrance was 10 cubits wide, and the projecting walls on each side of it were 5 cubits wide. Then he went into the inner sanctuary, and he measured the jambs of the entrance. Each was 2 cubits wide. The entrance was 6 cubits wide, and the projecting walls on each side of it were 7 cubits wide. And he measured the length of the inner sanctuary. It was 20 cubits, and its width was 20 cubits across the end of the outer sanctuary. He said to me," listen to this, "this is the holy place of God." The Sanctum Sanctorum, or the Holy of Holiness, the third floor there is a holy place of God. We're set aside. The Ark of the Covenant is inside the holy place here. And when the Lord comes and makes his presence known, that's where. And we know the smoke is the covering for the priest not to be able to see the Lord. Now, your Bibles, if you're reading in a different translation, do they use cubits or do they use feet and inches?
ESV uses cubits.
Huh? Yours does feet and inches? All right.
That's the bottom it translates.
All right. Be ready. I'll put a pop test on you in a minute. How many feet is that, miss? "Then he measured the wall of the temple. It was 6 cubits thick, and each side room around the temple was 4 cubits wide. The side rooms were on 3 levels, ground floor, checkered pavement, and then the Sanctum Sanctorum, or Holy of Holies. And said one above another, 30 on each level, 30 rooms to each floor here. And huge, massive building, wasn't it? And I believe the walls of that thick and stuff, that stand a pretty good wind, don't you think? Be a pretty good safe wind, safe place. So they were ledges, I'll get it right in a minute, all around the wall of the temple to serve as supports for the side rooms, so that the supports were not inserted into the walls of the temple. The side rooms all around the temple were wider at each ascending stage, so that the room widened as one that went upward. The stairwell went up from the lowest floor to the top floor through the middle floor. Now, I try to visualize that in my mind, and what the Lord keeps putting there is a winding staircase that goes up through. You've seen them in modern buildings and stuff, from one floor to the other, and supported, like he said here, by these columns and the end of it. And so the things that was happening to support it. Verse 7 says, the side rooms all around the temple were wider at each ascending stages, so that the rooms widened as one went upward. A staircase went up through the lowest floor to the top floor. I saw that the temple had a raised base all around it, forming the foundation of the side rooms. It was the length of the rod, 6 long cubits. The outer wall of the side rooms was 5 cubits thick. The open area between the side rooms of the temple and the priest room was 20 cubits wide all around the temple. There were entrances to the side rooms from the open area, one on the north and another on the south. And the base adjoining the open area was 5 cubits wide all around. Remember we talked last week about our old courthouse at home, how it used to have 4 entrances to it. And because of remodeling and adding on, we're down to 2 now. And basically 1 is the old original one. That'd be the front door, you know. It closed off a side door. Don't let us come in from the funeral home side over there on that side and stuff. So change comes with things, doesn't it? Tore the one off the side over on the sheriff's office side over there where you used to go out of circuit clerks and go out that door and stuff. It went amiss. Back door when they added on and built a new entrance way back there that has nothing in resemblance to the one that was there. And stuff and things. So not much stays the same anymore, does it? And we transform it and change it and fix it. But thinking about the support of this thing and the thickness and the depth and the height and how it would protrude out over the next porch below it and stuff and allow it kind of reminds me of going to a motel, you know, and you're on the first, second, or third floor, maybe, you know, and all the doors open to the outside, you know, but you got the walkway all the way around it to go find your room number and stuff, you know, and 30 rooms to the floor that he's dealing with here is, can you imagine the weight of this thing? And he barely mentioned the foundation. And what is a foundation to the building? Everything. It supports it, carries the load. And so verse 8, he said, I saw that the temple had a raised base all around it, forming the foundation of the side room. It was the length of the rod, 6 long cubits. The outer wall of the side rooms was 5 cubits thick. The open area between the side rooms and the temple and the priest room was 20 cubits wide all around. the temple. There were entrances to the side rooms from the open area, from the outside, just like the motels we have today. One on the north and another on the south. And the base adjoining the open area was 5 cubits wide all around. When we stay in a hotel like that where it's the rooms is on the outside and open to the outside, and I always get the room that's the furthest from the stairwell. You know, you lug all that luggage up there to the third floor, and then you got to go all the way to the other end to your room down there, you know. And he said they were entrances to the side rooms from the open area, one on the north and another on the south. And the base adjoining the open area was 5 cubits wide all around. The building facing the temple courtyard on the west side was 70 cubits wide. And 70 plus 35 would be 105 inches wide, feet wide, or whatever you want to call it. The wall of the building was 5 cubits thick all around, and its length was 90 cubits. Then he measured the temple. It was 100 cubits long, 150 feet. The temple courtyard and the building with its walls were also 100 feet long, 100 cubits long. The width of the temple courtyard on the east, including that, was 100 cubits. Then he measured the length of the building facing the courtyard at the rear of the temple, including its galleries on each side. It was 100. So what have we done? We've got 100 by 100 by 100 by 100. I got a perfect what? Square, hadn't we? And what he has put together here, and things that's happening. The outer sanctuary and the inner sanctuary and the portico facing the court, as well as the thresholds and the narrow windows and galleries around the three of them, everything beyond and including the threshold was covered with wood. The floor, the wall up to the windows, and entrances into the inner sanctuary. And on the walls at regular intervals and all around the inner and outer sanctuary were carved, hand-carved into the wood. What did they carve? Cherubims and palm trees. Palm trees alternated with cherubims. Each cherubim had two faces. The face of a man toward the palm tree on the one side, and the face of a lion toward the palm tree on the other side. Palm tree, cherubim. Palm tree, cherubim. The cherubim had two faces, one looking to man, one looking to the lion. And the things that he's facing here during this, and things that's happening, and their hearts and their lives. He said here, the outer sanctuary had a rectangular door frame. Kind of odd, it. And the one at the front of the most holy place was similar. There was a wooden altar, 3 cubits high and 2 cubits square. Its corners, its base, and its sides were of wood. The man said to me, "This is the table that is before the Lord. Both the outer sanctuary and the most holy place had double doors. Each door had two leaves, 2 hinged leaves for each door. And on the doors of the outer sanctuary were carved cherubims and palm trees like those carved on the walls. And there was a wooden overhang on the front of the portico. On the side walls of the portico were narrow windows with palm trees carved on each side. The side room of the temple also had overhangs." Now, why most especially how was this so important for Ezekiel to see this thing from the ground floor up, know the measurements and stuff. And most importantly, I said, how in the world could he remember all this, you know? And as I think of that and what he's doing, he knew the details of every door, every window, every thickness of all the walls and the flooring and the support, the foundation, everything, you know. I wouldn't have never remembered. I just do remember this building was 144 feet long and 42 feet wide, so I can't begin to comprehend one that's built like that. Can any of you think of something that it reminds you of with the porch overhangs and all the things? If I study the measurements and I understand it correctly, you know, the inner temple or the sanctum sanctorum or holy of holies, it was small. And all these other porches and entrances and stairwells and stuff were built around it, you know. And the actual place, now last Wednesday night when we studied about, you know, on the second floor, what they offer there, you remember? The sacrifices. They had the butchering block there where they offered the sacrifice of the animal, whatever it might be, you know, and taking the blood, and no one was allowed to enter the sanctum sanctorum or holy of holies but once a year, and then only with blood. Something had to die. But in New Testament, what took the place of that blood sacrifice? Jesus did when he went to the cross and shed his blood for our sins on that cross, didn't he? The things that he had. But when you think of that, and I'll just have to think about old movies and stuff that I've seen where the building was inside and the porches was built around it and the house roof on it, and like, you know, so. But Ezekiel's getting to see a lot, what's happening. All right, what he built all this for? Who is supposed to be in charge of the temple? The priests were, what? All right, keep that in mind. Let's start in 42 here. It said, then the man led me northward into the outer court, and he brought me to the rooms that were opposite the temple courtyard, and opposite the outside wall on the north side. The building, whose door faced north, was 100 cubits long and 50 cubits wide. Both in the sections, 20 cubits from the inner court and the section opposite the pavement of the outer court. Gallery faced gallery at three levels, ground floor, checker plate, and this upper floor. In front of the rooms was an inner passageway, 10 cubits wide and 100 cubits long. Their doors were on the north. Now the upper rooms were narrower, for the galleries took more space from them than from the rooms on the lower and middle floors of the building. The rooms on the third floor had no pillars, as the court had, so they were smaller in floor space than those on the lower and middle floor. There was an outer wall parallel to the rooms, and the outer court, it extended in front of the rooms for 50 cubits. Making room for what? Can you imagine? 300 priests, maybe? Talking about tiny rooms, you know. First thing we do when we're traveling and stuff and we get us a room and stuff, Kim won't even let you get your luggage. Let's go see what this room looks like. You know, and she can analyze it with one look. You know, she, that's too little. That ain't big enough. That bathroom ain't that. You know, or either this is all right. This is nice. You know, very seldom you hear that, but you do get it every once in a while. You get her okay on one. You know, and
it's being recorded on.
Hey. We pick on her pretty good, you know. All we had to do is say, I don't know, I see a bed bug over here or something. she's ready to go in a hurry then. Yeah. But think about what he's doing here and this. He's preparing a place for the priest. And the priest is supposed to stay in charge of the temple. Take care of the maintenance of the temple. And who's supposed to feed them? They ain't supposed to go out and work. They're supposed to. The food that comes from the sacrifices, you know. And they're going to go in and eat it. And the things that they have. And the things that they're doing. All right, where'd I leave off at? 10. On the south side, along the length of the wall of the outer court, adjoining the temple courtyard and opposite the outer wall, were rooms with a passageway in front of it. We had a walkway to get around there to where they were. These were like the rooms on the north. They had the same length and same width, with similar exits and dimensions, similar to the doorway on the north, were the doorways of the rooms on the south. They're just back to back, wasn't it? We see that in hotels and motels today, don't we? And he said in there was a doorway at the beginning of the passageway that was parallel to the corresponding wall, extending eastward, by which one enters the room. And for the most part, our motel rooms are what? One way in, one way out, aren't they? Yeah. Now we've had, and especially along the coastline, at the beach and stuff, and have a way to get out on a little balcony or something and listen to the ocean, you know, and let it relax you. And, you know, and I said, that old Baylor going, that relaxes me, you know. I don't have to have that sand between my toes, but I don't get very far with that excuse. And the things that was happening. But one thing I mentioned, failed to mention to you, and all of these dimensions and stuff, God's taking care of the priestess. Privacy, giving them an opportunity to have a place where they get rest when it's not their duty to be on duty, and a place where they can have a little peace and quiet and personal time on their own. We'll see that before we get to the end and what they're doing. Then he said to me, the north and the south rooms facing the temple courtyard are the priest's rooms, where the priest who approached the Lord will eat the most holy offerings. There they will put the most holy offerings, the grain offerings, the sin offerings, and the guilt offerings, for the place is holy. Once the priest enters the holy precinct, they are not to go into the outer court until they leave behind the garments in which they ministered, for these are holy. They go in, if it's the priest's turn to offer the incense, and he goes in and he offers the incense, or he goes in and offers the blood sacrifice, or whatever his duty is, before he comes back out to where man is, he is to remove all of his holy apparel, his dress, and get back in his personal robe. And he said, 14 there, once the priest enters the holy precinct, they are not to go into the outer court till they leave behind the garments in which they minister. Why? For these are holy. They are to put on garments in which they minister. They are to put on other clothes before they go near the places that are for the people. And don't that kind of strange, but my Bible had a little notation down here I'll read to you. It said, approaching our holy God must not be taken lightly. The holy garments the priests were required to wear may symbolize the importance of having a holy heart when we approach God. The priests had to wear these special clothes in order to minister in the inner rooms of the temple. Because the garments were holy, the priests had to change their clothes before going back out to the public. And things that they were doing in their hearts of what he's doing. And so verse 15 says, when he had finished measuring what was inside the temple area, he led me out by the east gate and he measured the area all around. He measured the east gate with the measuring rod. It was 500 cubits. He measured the north side, it was 500 cubits by the measuring rod. He measured the south side, it was 500 by the measuring rod. Then he turned to the west and measured, and it was 500 cubits by the measuring rod. So he yet measured the area on all four sides. It had a wall around it, 500 cubits long and 500 cubits wide, to separate the holy from the common. I thought that kind of, to separate the holy from the common. Who's the common? Man, you and I, in our hearts and our lives. Can you envision what Ezekiel saw and his dealings here that he had? Now, Sunday night, we'll finish up Ezekiel probably, or come very close. But we're going to look at the glory of the Lord as it returns to see if God accepts this rebuilt temple. How long did it take to build it? Whenever old King Cyrus, was that his name? That let some of them leave before the 70 years was up and come back and begin to rebuild the temple. Am I right? Wasn't it 2.5 years that it took to rebuild? Now, I don't know about you, you know, but I've seen some big buildings being built, and it seemed like it took 2 years just to get it out of the ground. So ain't nothing to start, huh? Yeah, and sir, that's what I'm talking about. He had to bring most of that 70 folks that was down there 70 years back with him. Why did it work? Why did everything fall in place? God planned it, didn't he? And what was the purpose of? And I don't know about you, but I kind of want to think in my mind that he is on a personal tour with God himself. The man he didn't recognize, didn't, but it was God himself that was revealing this to him and preparing him for what's going to happen. We're going to see the new Jerusalem one of these days, ain't we? The new holy city, you know? And what Revelation says, and we come out of Ezekiel, get in Daniel, compare it with Revelations. We got some good stuff ahead of us. Good stuff. Any question? Any comment?
I found it interesting that whenever they left the Holy of Holies, they had to change their
clothes. The ideas of some people.
It is, but they use this verse in Ezekiel as why that they have to be cleansed.
Yeah. Any other thought?
What did they do with their clothes? They had to pull them off. Did they clean them?
I would think they'd have a purification of somehow or another, you know. But they couldn't come out in. The priest was supposed to be, for him to enter, he had to purify himself, you know, to go in. And I would think that he couldn't bring the presence of the Lord back out, or the Ark of the Covenant, or anything. Where sin was, he had to leave that in and put on his personal robe or whatever and come out. Yeah. I'm sure.
They had to do that same thing. They carried that on up to this point.
I would think probably.
At the end, if they didn't do something, if a priest didn't do something right, nobody could go in after them.
Yeah.
They had to wear little bells to let people know that they was okay at moving.
Yeah.
I wonder if that carried on into this as well.
I think he had a Lord that said, look at that.
Yeah.
Hand carved those cherubims in there. Hand carved those palm trees in there. One facing the palm trees, one facing the cherubim. And it's amazing what the Lord can do. Ezekiel had to be on the straight and narrow to have the privilege of being selected of God. Think about Mary. You know, she's just a poor little teenager, probably. And God chose her to be the mother of his son, you know. But think about all of it, regardless of who it is, all through that Bible, it ain't the rich and famous, it's the who? Poor and lowly that he used, you know, common, everyday people like you and I. Our hearts and our lives.
You know, you think about when Solomon built the first temple, and it was loaded out, and they had gold on the walls. And then this temple, the only carvings were the palms and the cherubim. And that made it more for, to me, it made it more for the poor people than it did for
yeah.
The rich people got the first one, and they jacked all that up and lost it.
Yeah. That was needed. Every time they needed something, what'd that remind you of? When we were building and growing and doing what we were doing, following the Lord's leadership, every time we needed something, He provided. What's He doing today? Every time we need something, what happens? He meets that need. That. Any other thought? He's a good God, isn't He? All the time. All the time. Brian dismisses, brother.